As protests ripple across America, we look at the economic impact of social upheaval. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Protesters defied curfews in dozens of U.S. cities overnight as anger intensified over George Floyd's death. Police continued to clash with demonstrators despite curfews imposed to curb arson and looting. Many companies, including Target, Amazon, and Apple, have put limits on store opening hours in light of the protests. Some worry the turmoil could be a fresh setback for the economy as retail and hospitality sectors were beginning to reopen from months of coronavirus restrictions. But financial markets have largely taken a pause as events continue to unfold. Justin Eckhart Stewart, co-founder of Seven Investment Management, explains why that's different from the stock market reaction seen in the last year following yellow vest protests in France and pro-democracy demonstrations in Hong Kong.
What they've got to look at is the impact of the economy. Well, the economy is in such a bad state anyway at the moment. It's actually sort of really rather marginal. It is, of course, very serious concern, but has it made life any worse yet as far as the market's concerned? It will do if it means that actually there's going to be a serious disturbance in terms of recovery, for instance, the lack of consumer confidence. That, after all, is the primary driver of the US economy. Come to that, the global economy. So almost, I think, at the moment, markets look in amazement and astonishment at actually what's going on, but can't measure the impact of it.
How do you assess potential economic fallout from protests of this scale as an investor?
There are two issues to look at. One is in terms of actual production and how that will affect the ability of businesses actually to be able to carry on doing their business, whether it's retail, whether it's actually manufacturing those elements. Is it actually holding up those issues from actually being carried out or goods being delivered? Secondly, though, possibly the more important one, is the question of confidence. Confidence runs an economy. If you haven't got confidence, people don't spend, people don't invest. And so, therefore, everything will start drying up. And that's what we've seen over the past few months with, obviously, the pandemic issues. This further reinforces it.
So closely watching consumer confidence in the U.S., but at what point could we see this impact global markets?
Obviously, what's happening in America is deeply unpleasant and troubling for everybody. But also the issue with regard to China in terms of the trade war. We're seeing a Chinese Cold War breaking out here. Now add to that as well a European concern where you're seeing a change of leadership here of Mrs. Merkel now over the next few months stepping down. And who's going to be stepping up? The answer is, well, nobody really knows at the moment. So this is not a good time to actually be dealing with a pandemic, dealing with social unrest and dealing with economic weakness.
Justin Eckhart Stewart, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Let's do a quick check of the numbers. European shares are broadly higher today after a fresh survey showed manufacturing activity recovered somewhat in May. Asia shares also ended higher. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rallied 3.6% after President Trump stopped short of revoking special trade privileges for the city in retaliation to China's move last week to impose new security measures in Hong Kong. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in Brazil has passed the 500,000 mark, making it the world's second largest outbreak with the fourth highest death rate. President Jair Bolsonaro has consistently downplayed the outbreak and said lockdown measures harm the economy. But the government's response has been criticized as chaotic and made things difficult for hospitals across the country, as the BBC's Katie Watson reports.
A couple of hours' drive away from São Paulo city, is the University of Campinas, in the heart of São Paulo state. In one corner of the campus is a large warehouse, looked after by Adriano. He's worked off his feet at the moment, making sure that the university hospital is fully stocked. Talking to him is Henrique Sayarpi, a maths professor by profession. Henrique is part of a 400-member task force at the university, helping to source equipment like gloves and gowns from abroad. He says he's doing this particular role because the government is absent.
Basically, they're not doing anything. And in fact, they're in many ways harmful to the process of response to a pandemic.
Down the road at the hospital itself, the intensive care unit is 95% full. Dr. Plinio Trabasso is the deputy president and agrees with Henrique that the Brazilian government could have done more.
If the government buy for every hospital, they will get a lower price that the government can distribute to us or sell to us to a low price.
With unreliable support at the federal level, the governor of the northeastern state of Maranhão imported ventilators from China, but says the federal government has made the process difficult.
They tried to interfere. Even now our team is trying to get through silly processes that customs is insisting on.
Latin America has become the focal point of this pandemic, but the eyes of the world are particularly on Brazil, because every country across the region is battling with similar issues of poverty and inequality, but it's the lack of political leadership that set Brazil apart.
The BBC's Katie Watson reporting from Brazil there. Well, further north in Mexico, the government is easing its COVID-19 lockdown starting today. Some health experts, though, have said the looser restrictions are too premature and come when the coronavirus outbreak is at its most acute there. The country has Latin America's second highest death toll from the pandemic behind Brazil, as the BBC's Will Grant reports.
Mexico's decision to reopen several industries which have been shut down for weeks, including mining, automobile manufacturing and construction, is deeply controversial. It comes as deaths from coronavirus in the country reached 10,000, a grim milestone and an indication that the virus is still spreading rapidly rather than easing. But the start of reopening is welcome news for many in Mexico's stricken economy. As many as a million jobs may have been lost through COVID-19, and the economy is expected to contract by as much as 9% this year.
The BBC's Will Grant reporting there from Mexico, and here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.